Hey, everybody, welcome to the Financial Momentum Podcast. This is our second episode of the week. This is an experiment, and I'm going to experiment with doing two episodes a week. The second one is going to be a shorter version, and it's more of a Q&A type episode where I'm going to look at questions that people have about commercial real estate. When people invest in real estate, naturally the first thing they think about is buying rent houses. Probably, in my opinion, the worst type of real estate to invest in. It's easy. It's the easiest kind to invest in. But for some reason, people gravitate toward that. And my opinion on that is because it's their comfort zone. People grow up in houses and apartments, and they've lived in it all their lives. And so that to them is their comfort zone when it comes to buying real estate. Commercial real estate's another matter. It's a lot different, and it will actually provide you with a higher income and more control over the value of your property. So these questions I have today are from somebody else. These are questions asked to another content creator who talks about commercial real estate. And these are good questions. So I want to answer these. And if anyone has questions, you can email me at paul.financialmomentum.co. Ask me your question concerning commercial real estate. Now, when we talk about commercial real estate, you know, there are four types. There's multifamily, industrial, office, and retail. And then there are some subtypes underneath those. I do not deal in multifamily. It seems like about 99.99% of everybody on YouTube and anywhere else that teaches and talks about commercial real estate, all they talk about is multifamily. And if it's not commercial real estate, of course, it's residential houses. So for multifamily, if you have five units or above, it's a commercial property. Now, I don't deal in those as a broker. I don't invest in those as an investor, but you know, we will from time to time answer questions about them. But mostly I deal in industrial properties and office and retail properties. Actually, these are not property type specific questions. These are just about in general. Now, the first one I'm going to do is actually a comment, and this one's kind of funny. This person says, commercial real estate has tenants, along with all the problems that come with tenants. Yeah, well, there are tenants, and then there are tenants. I don't want to talk about the difference between a commercial tenant and a live-in tenant, meaning somebody who lives in a rent house or an apartment. Totally different animal, completely different behavior. Now, in apartments and houses, you know, you've got the old problem of plumbing issues and electrical issues, anything like that that the landlord has to fix, and they get called upon to do those repairs at crazy times, middle of the night, holidays, Christmas, whenever. It's an annoying thing. And that's where people get the idea that all tenants are bad. They aren't differentiating between commercial and residential properties. And there is a difference. There's a contractual difference. And there is a behavioral difference. And the reason is, in commercial properties, not including apartments, a commercial tenant has a business. They're running their business in your property. That's what commercial property is. It's a place where people do business. And it may be a store, a retail store. It could be a restaurant. It could be a manufacturing facility, a trucking facility. All kinds of things. So in the leases, it spells out what the tenant is responsible for and what the landlord is responsible for. The lease I use has two columns, and it lists several items. One column has check boxes in each column, One column is for the tenant. One column is for the landlord. And if something is the responsibility of the tenant, check off that box on the tenant column. If it's the landlord's responsibility, we check it off in the landlord column. It's pretty cut and dry. And if there's ever a dispute, all you have to do as a landlord is say, okay, here's your lease. This is what we agreed to. You're responsible for it, or I'm responsible for it. Hopefully you have a property where you have a triple net lease where the tenant's responsible for everything. And that's where the biggest difference comes in commercial tenants. Triple net leases. The tenant is responsible for everything. They pay the property taxes, they pay the insurance, and they take care of the maintenance on the property. Now, they are covering the cost of all the maintenance on a building. And in most cases, all of it. Some cases, you know, they may have some exceptions, but usually it's all of it one way or another. In the case of common area maintenance, like parking lots and landscaping and things like that, the landlord hires someone to do it, but the tenant pays for it. This is where the difference comes in. The tenant is not going to be calling you in the middle of the night, and hopefully you have set up some kind of a management process where they're not calling you at home anyway, ever. But these tenants, this is their business. They take care of that property a lot better than someone who's living in a house or an apartment. You would think that it wouldn't be the case. You'd think that if somebody lives in a property, they'd want to take care of it, but they don't. And in a business, they have customers coming in, and they want their customers to have the best impression possible of their business. So they keep it clean usually. They don't let it get run down. They don't knock holes in the walls, and they don't have animals running around peeing on the carpet. So that's the difference. So yeah, they are tenants, but they're different. So question number two, this question is, how do I get into this without using any of my own money? And this question is probably the most popular question in real estate investing ever. Everybody wants to know this. How do I get into investing in real estate without using any of my own money? Well, there are ways, but the hard truth is, sooner or later, you're going to have to spend some money when you buy a property. And commercial real estate, here's why you're going to have to spend some money. You can make the deal where the purchase price doesn't come out of your pocket. You can do seller financing. You can do a partnership with someone and let them come up with the cash, and you go in on the debt with them, and you manage the property possibly. And, you know, sometimes people have more money than time, and they're happy to help you by you helping them. They're happy to put up cash for an investment property, and you put up the time that it takes to manage it and make the deal and make sure everything goes through. There are people there out there like that. So that's one way to do it. But the thing is, what nobody talks about, all of these real estate gurus who say, buy properties with none of your own money, no money down deals. Here's the problem with that. When you buy a commercial property, there are some things that your lender is going to require you to do. Now, if you pay cash, you don't have to worry about these things if you don't want to. I don't suggest doing that, but it is possible. But then you're using your own money, right? Here are the things that the lender is going to require you to do that you will have to pay for. First of all, a survey, a commercial property survey. It's not like getting a survey on a house. It can cost a lot more, especially if you have a property that's 1 or 2 acres or 5 acres. There's something called an ALTA survey in a commercial contract. If a lender requires that, you had better come up with $4,000 or $5,000 for that survey, because that's what it's going to cost. And that's where they go out and they pinpoint the exact location of everything on that property, the buildings, the telephone poles, the driveways, everything. And it's a very detailed survey. It's very costly. And, to me, it's a waste of money. But some I've had out of 13 and a half years of being a commercial real estate agent or broker, I have had one lender require that. And it was $5,000. So it does happen, not very often, but it does happen. Now that's one thing, a survey. You're going to have to get an appraisal, a commercial appraisal. They're not like appraising a house. Again, it's different. It's more expensive. First of all, there are fewer commercial appraisers out there than residential appraisers, and they charge more, and they have extensive research they have to do on your property. Now, I have never paid less than $3,500 for a commercial appraisal. And occasionally, if you buy a property that's $250,000 or less, some lenders will let you get by with a broker price opinion. But that generally is their threshold is $250,000 purchase price. A broker price opinion is going to cost you a lot less, usually $300 to $500, and you find a broker to do that, or actually the lender is going to find it. And that's the other thing. You can't decide who's doing the appraisal. The lender is going to choose the appraiser, and you're going to pay for it. And so that's money that's going to have to come from somewhere. And it's probably going to have to come out of your pocket unless you have a partner that's putting up the cash. And then they'll, you know, you need to discuss that with them that that's going to come up. And then the other thing on a commercial property is an environmental study. And in a lot of cases, in most cases, on commercial properties, you're going to have what's called a phase one environmental study. That starts at about $3,500. That seems to be the magic number in these people that do commercial real estate services. But that's what it costs, and they research whether or not there's been any kind of environmental issue with that property. If you don't get that done and someone sells you a property that had some kind of a chemical spill or a contamination or something like that, you could end up being liable for all the costs of that cleanup. So you want to have that done before you close on the property and make them take care of it, and be sure that they are the ones responsible for they're financially liable for anything that arises from any kind of an environmental issue. Those are the two questions to start with. They're very important questions. So for the last one here, can I do this without using any of my own money? Yes. You just need to be aware of the hidden expenses that we just talked about, that I just discussed. Those will come up, and you're going to have to be ready for that. I mean, you could spend $7,000 to $10,000 on these hidden expenses. And, you know, you have to do that before you close. And if you don't close, you don't get that money back. It's gone. So you better have $7,000 to $10,000 to just, you know, decide it's gone regardless of whether you close on the property or not. So, now, if you know, like I said, if you're paying cash, you can waive a survey, you can waive an environmental study, you can waive the appraisal. You don't have to do any of that stuff. I would not do that, though. I would do the survey, at least the survey and the environmental study. I would not go without either one of those, because sometimes boundaries get in dispute. Unknown things may have happened in the past on the property, so you have to have that environmental study. The appraisal is, you know, that's a decision you can make. If you want to trust the value, the purchase price is close to the value of the property, you can do your own research on that. But you know what? At least go get a broker somewhere to give you a price opinion on it. So that's it for this time. Except for my experimental podcast episode that I'm going to add weekly. If you have any questions, go to paul.financialmomentum.co and send me a question about commercial real estate. And I will see you next time.